Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to...
Love Letters Live. This is a show about love letters. This is a show about writing love letters, about saying what you feel while you still have the chance, stamping it and mailing it to somebody. And for people who like journaling, that's a very popular thing. People keep journals, daily journals, however often. Why not write it as a letter and send it? Don't just keep it private. If it's something you can share and enrich somebody else's life, I say do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And a reminder that a love letter is a joy to send and to receive.
Yes, the fun in doing it is just unbeatable. And sometimes it might feel a little intimidating to start. Look, Daniel, you're already smiling. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's just go right to you. Our guest today is Daniel DeTore, and I am going to ask you just to talk about your life and challenges and what your life has been like, and you just go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't know about the challenges, because I always feel very blessed that I live in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I've been here 33 years, you know, moved here from Albuquerque a week after college, and... really and truly, there's not a day I don't get up that I don't appreciate the fact that I'm in the city.
How wonderful.
I get to be here. And, you know, also being a gay man, I think also having survived the epidemic,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel very blessed. You know?
Really?
So, absolutely, absolutely.
Yes.
I lost so many friends, uh-huh. and that was a really, really black time in San Francisco. And had thought about going, but knew there was no place else that I would want to go.
Yeah. So you've had relationships that have suffered and some who have...
Well, I've been fortunate because I have been one of the people that made it through that time. And that probably leads into my love letter, because I was in a relationship for 10 years, from 1977 until 87.
Well, talk about that then.
Well, that was a time when everyone was becoming infected with HIV, and that mm-hmm. happened to be a time that I was in a relationship, basically a monogamous relationship. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that that's the reason that I am still alive today.
Oh, 55,
sure. So. Uh-huh.
So you say for 10 years, so obviously that relationship came to an end.
That relationship did come to an end. In my mind, it was 10 years. In the person I was with, Ken, who mm-hmm. is my love letter recipient, mm-hmm. he would say 8, because the last 2 years of it, I was involved in an affair.
Do you want to talk about how life was then?
You know, life was great with Ken. I mean, we had a fabulous apartment on Telegraph Hill, and we were kind of living the life. Armistead Maupin lived above us.
Mm-hmm.
I often say that I was living Tales of the City, at least the first 3 books, because we were living that life that Armistead's characters in Tales of the City were living. We were mm-hmm. having fun. We were going out. We were drinking, smoking a little pot, meeting famous people. And it was a great time to be in the city.
Mm-hmm. And so what were you like personally at that? I'm asking you this because you and Ken must have somehow been different enough in your souls that it caused you to...
We're definitely. I mean, I often said during that period that Ken and I were very different people. I mean, as far as our personalities, and that was one of those relationships where you say opposites attract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to do certain things he didn't like to do. He liked to do things I didn't like to do. Came together in a lot of ways, but I did learn from that relationship that you do need your lover to be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to have similar interests. I mean, the thing about the opposites is good up to a point. But that was, I mean, all in all, it was really a good time. I mean...
But were you disappointed in him at one point? Or
never really disappointed in him. I think I was more disappointed in myself. I was disappointed that I was given this great opportunity with Ken. I was young. He was about 9 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And very giving and very loving, and certainly for the right person, it would have been a great opportunity. I just didn't manage to use those opportunities to, you know, become a better person. Well,
talk about that. That's an interesting thing to be able to say. But the lesson would be in...
I mean, had I been more aggressive in my career or my life, I would have had Ken as an opportunity to do those things, because he certainly made those things possible. Not that he was a sugar daddy or anything. He just... really believed in living your dream. He made things happen for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even for Armistead, he would push Armistead to go out and meet more people, or for us to do things, go to plays.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember Ken was the first person who ever said to me that if you had a question about the mayor, at that time it was Moscone, you just call him up and make an appointment and that they want to talk to you.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
He used to have a great relationship with Herb Cain, and he said, Herb Cain wants to know everything that goes on. So all you have to do is call him. He just doesn't want to miss anything. He may not print it, but he certainly doesn't want to miss it. So, you know.
So don't be intimidated by somebody else's celebrity.
No, And I've learned that, and that was a lesson I learned in my life. Really, we are really not even 6 degrees from anybody. If you want to really meet somebody or talk to somebody, you're probably a degree away.
So let me ask you something. You were talking about being a gay man during this really perilous time with, with AIDS. Talk about your growing up and your parents, and were they worried about you, and what was it like growing up and wanting to live a kind of life that obviously your parents didn't live?
Well, you know, it's I didn't really come out until I was about 21. I mean, I was like my last year of college. Of course, I knew before that, but as far as acting on it, probably not until I
was
about
21. Which meant you were dating women and...
Dating women, hanging out in high school, having fun. I mean, I talked to a lot of people who were gay in high school, and they were miserable, miserable. Well, I mean, I had a great time. I mean, I guess because I was naive.
But, or you're capable of having a great time.
Yeah, and I certainly dated women. It never really was exactly the same as when I finally met a man. But, but yeah, my parents were always very loving and caring, and I knew that it would not be an issue for them, but for some reason I didn't want to broach the subject. So my father being a macho Italian, trying to please my mother always. So so eventually I did move to San Francisco and came out.
Long distance to them.
Yes, yes. And I think I mentioned to you, Janet.
By letter?
By letter.
Oh, so that's an important kind of a love letter, actually.
That was. It was early on, and I it was EST, which most people aren't aware of anymore, the Human Potential Movement that Werner Erhard
started. Why don't you talk
started.
A little, explain that for people who don't remember.
There was something called EST in the 70s and 80s that Werner Erhard started that was kind of the first of the human potential movement. He would have these seminars, and you would go and learn how to basically maneuver through life. And so a spinoff of that was called the Advocate Experience. It was the first spinoff that he actually endorsed. So I was in that first group, and one of the exercises we had to do was to write a letter to someone and tell them that we were gay.
Oh.
Someone dead, someone alive. You didn't have to mail it, and so I wrote a letter to my mother, and after I wrote it, I thought, well, I've been waiting to do this so long, I'll just go ahead and send it, and it started, changed my life.
Hooray for love letters again. Okay, so...
Well, can I ask what happened when you wrote the letter?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of an interesting story. I mean, my mother actually called about a week later, and Ken had picked up the phone. I was living with him at the time, and so... She started rambling. It was right after Easter, and she started rambling on and on about what she had cooked, and my sisters had been there, and she finally took a breath after about 5 minutes, and I said, Mom, did you get my letter? And she said, yes, but I realized you weren't alone. And I said, well, Mom, that's Ken. That's the person I live with, you know? And so she thought in her life she had never met a gay person, and I said, Mom, the only reason you'd think you haven't met a gay person is because you haven't looked hard enough, but certainly there have been. And
or it just wasn't on her radar for any reason
exactly.
That it should have been.
It was completely out of her realm of consciousness. And then my mother, who was a great letter writer and is still a great letter writer, wrote a letter to me, and she went on and on and on. Was it okay if she didn't tell her mother? And I said, that was fine. And at the very end, she said, short of robbing banks, I will always love you. You know. And I think it's mostly her experience was that a family is where you find love.
Yes.
And that I wouldn't have that, but I told her I did. I had a chosen family, which was just as important as my biological family.
I think that's a legitimate fear or sadness of parents, because we always want to see our children happy and with someone.
Yes. And that's why they always think it's going to be, well, it is, it's a very tough life, and, you know, and certainly getting easier for the younger generations, I think. They
but
call them the Will and Grace generation, because they have actually have the experience of knowing gay people.
Of course. And also, you know, there were times, I mean, how really awful to think about it, where anyone who was gay pretty much had to live their visible life alone.
Oh, absolutely.
How awful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you did feel like you were separate from society and from your family. And, I mean, I was always amazed, as we go back to the epidemic, that someone would, you know, a lot of people didn't come out to their parents until they were sick.
Oh, I know.
And so to tell them you're gay and then
dying.
To tell them that you're dying was very... And there were parents who actually would reject their children at that time. And I always wondered... I never understood that. You tell your mother you're gay, and all of a sudden she says, I never want to see you again.
Oh, right.
Weren't you the same person you were the day before?
Yes.
You know,
I think there's still some families like that. I mean, I know people that are still have not come out, although their parents must suspect something. But,
surely.
But they don't talk about it.
It's the elephant in the room.
Yes, it is.
You know, they just don't want to...
And it's a real political statement when you tell your parents. I mean, I know people who will say, oh, my parents already know I'm gay, so I'd have to tell them. And I said, you know, there's a real step you take when you actually say to them, I am gay. And the more people do come out, of course, we know the more it will change the world.
Right.
you know, we're pretty much everywhere.
Yes. And there's also that, the reality that so often when people tell parents in any way whatsoever, I'm not going to live my life as you do or as you taught me I should, they take it as kind of a slap, whereas they shouldn't.
Well, and they also shouldn't take it as being something, some downfall of theirs.
Right.
And, you know,
or yours.
Or yours.
By the way.
Right. Exactly.
So what about your dad? How did
so
you
my
come
dad's
out
a macho Italian. I didn't talk to him for a long time. My father actually... And it'll lead a little bit into my love letter.
Mm-hmm.
My father actually, my parents divorced, and my father married a woman who was a year younger than I was, a year older than I was, and I was 22 at the time. And I really faulted him for that for a long time. And I didn't, I think there were two things happening. I didn't think he was very fair with my mother. I also didn't know how he would deal with my telling him I was gay because he was this macho Italian. And so we didn't speak for 10 years, and then after that, we did speak and became very, very close.
Wait, after you told him you didn't speak, or you...
I didn't tell him. I just said,
Dad,
I don't really want to talk to you anymore. You're really not a great person.
Oh.
And I realize now, in retrospect, it was probably having to do with the fact that I didn't want to come out to him as well, using my stepmother as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But how it would maybe lead into what I would talk about with you for the love letter would be that, you know, we all screw up in our lives and we don't mean to hurt people, but we end up doing that. And hopefully you learn the lesson and don't do it again. But my father, I don't think really, really intended to hurt my mother by leaving, but
sure.
It was something he had to do. And same situation with Ken. I didn't mean to hurt him like I did, but it's just was something that happened.
Okay, well then let's just pause at that point for a minute. And Teresa, do you want to...
I'll just remind our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time and hope that you all will continue to join us. You can also catch our past programs on our website, www.loveletterslive.com.
Thank you. Let's go back to you because you just said kind of such a perfectly important thing. And in that business of hurting other people, I think you're right. I think so often we don't do things to someone else as much as we do them from and for ourselves, and people get caught in the fray.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just say, who gets your love letter today, even though you've already said?
Well, I'm going to send it out to Ken, who was actually my first important relationship in my life. So.
And what are the things, let's just focus like on three things, I always say, because that could lead to 10 or 20, and maybe it's only two, but let's start with something. And I think when we're writing a love letter, you need to start with something. So let's just jot down the three things you most want him to know.
Well, I think the thing that I want him to know the most is how important he was in my life.
Okay, say how important he was. Because specifics is the name of the game.
Well, probably the most important. I would say the most important. And that I say that because it was at a time that I was very impressionable. I was, you know, I knew Ken from the time I was about 25 to 35. I had moved here from Albuquerque, New Mexico, not very savvy. And here was this person who taught me what unconditional love was. And I had no clue what that was before because most of the love in my life came with so many conditions, or at least I thought they did, it did. You know.
By the way, that's an important distinction, reality and perceived.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you weren't very savvy, and he gave you unconditional love?
He gave me unconditional love, and he also taught me about what my potential was.
How did he do that?
Well, he basically let me know that I could be anything I wanted to be. He didn't really care if I was really Butch at the time or if I was Nelly. He really just kind of loved the essence of who I was. And you don't find many people in your life who just take you unconditionally. And my line is always not so much that the person that I want to be with, I go, I'm surprised if somebody wants to be with me, you know, and all that baggage.
But do you feel that now at this mature stage of your life?
I still do. I think we all have a lot to offer, but I still think that if you can find someone who will put up with you, you're pretty lucky.
I agree.
Not so much that you'll put up with them because we all have our idiosyncrasies. But he just taught me that if you wanted something badly enough, you could have it. And he made things happen in our lives. I mean, you know, we traveled like I had never traveled before because he didn't really put barriers in his way. He just said, you want to go to Paris next month? Let's make it happen.
How clever.
You know.
Why didn't anybody think of that?
I know.
Why doesn't everybody think of that?
Well, I say that to my friends all the time now because I know that's true. People say, oh, I can't go to Europe. I have to go for a month. I go, no, you don't. You can go to Paris for a week and know it really well. You know, and have a great time.
So you don't have to limit yourself by...
I won't go because I have to go for a month.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, you know? Yes, right.
So, and so he taught me that, and he also, I think he just taught me what love was, because I didn't really know what it was before. I was always trying, you know, up to that point, I was always trying to please my parents, you know, how can I make them happy? And this person, I really didn't have to try that hard. He really did just like me, you know?
So you keep getting back to that same important...
Yes.
Reality. He just likes you. He yeah. just loves you.
I don't think we find many people in our lives who just say, hey, I just like who you are. You don't really have to be anything different. And that leads into the fact that he said to me, but don't screw me over. Don't betray my trust. And that's exactly what I ended up doing in the end.
Okay, so you want to acknowledge that in this.
Oh, I absolutely do. I mean, I took that trust that he had in me, because he never really questioned what I did or mm-hmm. who I saw or where I was going. He just basically, maybe even didn't verbally say it, but mm-hmm. he let me know that just don't screw me over. And mm-hmm.
because
and
he wouldn't have done that to you?
Wouldn't have done it, no. And he was mm-hmm. and he was so honest. I have to be honest with you, Jan and Teresa. When he talked to me, when we first met and we decided to move in together, he said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to... when we decided to be partners, do you want to live together? You want to live separately? You want to have an open relationship? You want to have a closed relationship? How do you want to work this? I had never even known there was an option.
You know, and it's so important to ask those kinds of things.
Sure, sure.
Uh-huh.
And I remember saying to him, well, of course I want to live with you, and of course it's going to be a closed relationship. And he said, oh, so you basically want the heterosexual example of what a relationship mm-hmm. is? And I said, yeah, is there another way? I mean... I didn't know that relationships can be anything you want them
to be. By the way, interesting perception from your point of view, that the heterosexual model, that they're always so closed and
absolutely.
Monogamous?
Well, that's what we've been for thousands of years. That's the model for...
That's what people have been openly for thousands of years.
Sure.
I mean, the perception is, but my goodness.
Not always the reality.
Not always the reality, and it's usually
no,
not, right?
But,
but he... you know, it was a time in San Francisco when we met in 1977, or we became probably 76, 77 is when we decided that mm-hmm. we would. And that was a time when, you know, relationships, especially amongst gay men, were not very prevalent. I mean, I remember when I'd been with Ken for 2 years and people were like, oh my God, really? Because it was such a promiscuous time.
Why are you wasting all this privilege and openness on one person?
And, you know, it was the revolution. I mean, everybody was running around, I mean, both, I think, straight and gay, running around doing whatever they want, especially in San Francisco. It was
mm-hmm. Well, I think especially everywhere, but it was maybe just more
right.
openly done here.
We were just, yeah, exactly. We would acknowledge it, whereas the rest of the country would hide mm-hmm. it, right?
So beyond this, I got the feeling that one of the points of this love letter was to say, I'm taking responsibility for.
Absolutely.
And what
absolutely.
A wonderful other kind of a love letter.
Absolutely.
So how do you want to say that?
Well, I just...
Because you talked about, I didn't mean to hurt you.
I know. And at the time, you know, when you're breaking up, you say so many hideous and horrible things to each other. And you just... No one wants to really take responsibility. I just remember saying, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Kind of throwing the blame back at him for some reason for being a really good person. And instead, it was probably me. I don't regret having gone, because I really think I needed it for my own personal growth. But I do regret the fact that somehow there was any blame ever for him, because he was actually blameless in the entire thing.
Perfectly wonderful. A love letter that lets someone else off the hook is one of the best kinds.
Yes. Well, he never was on the hook, and I think he probably knows that, but...
Have it in writing makes a difference.
It does.
Yeah, and to have it from you.
Absolutely.
Are you still friends? Are you still?
You know, he didn't talk to me for years and years, and recently there's been a little bit of contact, and then every once in a while I would get something in the mail from him that, you know, a book that had been signed or something.
Oh, nice.
And then what was interesting is when I ran into Janet and she asked me about the program a week or so ago, that very day I passed him on the street, and... we had a conversation about Washington Square Bar and Grill closing or something. But
so you're not uncomfortable with each other at this point?
I try just to be as comfortable as I can, and I've made phone calls and tried conversations. I think he's still uncomfortable, and I think that's due to the pain of the breakup. It was
sure.
Just,
so this might assuage some of that. But so is one of the things, I think one of the nice things to say in a letter
mm-hmm.
is what you hope for the future, if that's appropriate. So is what you're hoping is that you never have to be uncomfortable with? I mean,
I'm hoping that there would be a time that we could be more comfortable. I don't think we'll ever be able to be best friends or but certainly where it's not so awkward when we do run into each other.
And why do you want that?
Good question.
I think it's important to have resolution, and I'm not the type of person who can hold a grudge or not talk to somebody very easily.
That's very hard, isn't it?
You know, if you and I have a fight and we're at a party and we're in the same room, I'm probably going to come over and talk to you just because it's so uncomfortable for me not to, even though you may have screwed me over.
Right.
But still,
it just takes a lot of energy.
It takes a lot of energy
to maintain that.
And I just feel with Ken that when I see him, there is this kind of uncomfortableness, or when I talk to him, I would like for it to be more natural, because really and truly, the 10 years that we were together were amazing, amazing times. And, you know, you can remember all the bad, which we generally do when a relationship ends, but I'm trying to remember the good, and I do remember the good, because, you know.
Right.
And that's part of what you're going to put in this letter, right?
Yes, absolutely. Good. Absolutely.
And do we have specifics about that?
Yes, and specifics. That's right.
Specifics
to
about...
To say I remember the good is lovely, but to be specific about what was good is a gift.
Oh, I remember. It's maybe not as specific as I could be, but just the way that we could laugh with each other.
Okay, perfect.
You know, I mean, he could. He's very smart and he's very funny.
Smart and funny.
And
okay.
He finds humor in things that most other people don't.
Can you think of a specific incident?
I'm going to try to think of a specific incident.
Okay, but specifics. And when you take this home and write this letter, you don't have to do it in 30 minutes. I mean, you can take a couple of days and let yourself wander back and remember. Keep lists and then do it.
Now, can I just ask you quickly, what is this when you say specifics are important for?
I think when you say, I remember all the good, that's a nice thing to do. But a love letter is, this is specifically what I
remember
about you.
Yes. Yes.
That's what makes it, I think, a love letter and not just... something else,
Or a specific time that you can think that you laughed yourself silly. And what were you laughing about? And that's the true gift.
Or how gorgeous he looked in a particular navy blue suit that will always be with you. Anything physical.
Yeah.
That's what makes a really spectacular love letter.
and not the tears as you parted.
You can refer to that if you want. You know, I remember this and not the tears. But I think what you just said, Teresa, is focusing on the good. I think you can have a lot of both in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But when you focus on the good, that's what makes a love letter.
Yes.
It's not that you don't feel the other.
Yes.
But for the sake of this communication and this letter, you're focusing on the love and the good.
Okay.
And it's a gift like...
Right. And you mentioned that he taught you so much, or you learned so much. Can you be specific about what you don't have to say it here on the air.
No, but I know what you're saying. Is just use that as a specific to how he...
And then how you have used that and what it's enabled you
to. That's
right.
Good point.
Absolutely. How you... Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What you've actually learned, yes.
Yes. Well, just the confidence that someone who really believes in you instills in you.
Yes.
So all those things. And then what stationery will you use?
What station are we on now?
No, what stationery will you
use? I'm
going
KUSF.
That's right.
I thought maybe that was a Floyd.
That was
there.
A little ambiguous. Yes, go ahead. Stationery.
You know, I'm a big stationery fan.
Are
so,
you?
Yes,
too,
yes, yes,
yes.
Uh-huh. So, you know, I have some nice Crane stationery. My penmanship is so, so bad.
Doesn't matter.
But you know what I have that I love to type on is that I have an old portable typewriter with all that funky font.
Oh,
and when you
a real
miss
one.
A word, you just X it out. Yeah, I use it
okay.
often.
Okay, isn't that funny? So looking back, because doing it on a computer and everyone has, you know, a script font.
Surely.
It's not the same as your handwriting, but an old typewriter at this stage in our lives
is
so reminiscent of a time gone by. Uh-huh.
So
the envelope.
Yes.
In your handwriting.
Okay. Yes.
So that when he sees it.
Yes, absolutely.
It'll be that luscious personal touch.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you were going to do thank you notes now rather than email because.
I do thank you notes, and I do my own writing, because, I mean, I'm from the old school where, you know, you do your own writing and you spell out California on the
envelope. Yes. C-A.
Uh-huh. You're a much better person
C-A.
Than I am.
But thank you notes instead of an email?
Thank you notes because I think email is too easy anymore. It doesn't show that you've made any effort.
Yes.
But if you're at someone's house for dinner and you've had a good time, why not? I mean, it's so easy to have thank you notes around. And
so
it's
this shows that you've taken the
you.
Time out of your life and made this person
yes.
the center of your attention
yes.
for a minute instead of some
I think it's going to be lost. I think the younger generation isn't going to, it doesn't write like I was saying earlier about my mother being an incredible letter writer. There is definitely an art to letter writing.
Yes.
So, yes. You know.
And if it's up to me and Teresa, you know, it's not going to be disappearing so quickly.
Right.
Well, everything goes in waves. Yes. Maybe time for,
people love to do it.
We're,
okay,
we're
well, thank
to
you
change
so
the world
much.
One letter at a time.
Thank you.
Can I just go back
sure.
to one thing that we talked about and thanking Ken for something that you learned and how it's made you a better person? I know Janet mm-hmm. often reminds us that the letter is about the other person.
Oh, yes.
Is it okay
yes.
to talk about yourself a
yes.
bit in a letter?
Yes, because if you're talking about something like this, you can talk about yourself a lot and still have it be a love letter to somebody. If you're talking about yourself in respect to what you are in somebody else's strength or view or what that person has allowed you to be, that's certainly a love letter, I
yes.
think.
I think
it's
a reflection, how you are reflected in someone
exactly.
else.
Exactly, reflected in someone else's power and light
yes.
and love. Different from a letter about you where you're just talking about what you did all last week and where you went to dinner and what you had. Nothing wrong with that,
no.
but it's not a love letter.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different.
Janet.
Yes, ma'am.
This is the time in our show when we often share letters from our listeners, and here's one. I think this maybe goes along with what we were just talking about, interestingly enough. Dear Janet, I just received a short note that I regard as a love letter. It was a commercial card from a colleague. At the bottom, it said in her own handwriting, "You're fabulous," and a signature. That's all it said. I'd like to respond, but how should I do that?
Oh, well, so the first question is, I guess, is that a love letter? Absolutely. Love letters can be short, just so it's something about how you feel about the other person. Nothing wrong with a love letter that's just, "I love you," in your signature. Not as informative, but I think it counts. So how to respond to that? Why can't you just write back and say, "Thank you for that wonderful card. The card was terrific, but the real icing on the cake was what you said personally to me in your handwriting and your signature meant the world."
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a person you don't know well, that was yeah. just a lovely...
So in this since this is a business colleague... Do you need to write another personal note? Does it go back and forth like that? Can you send an email that says that?
Oh, how delicious to write, respond in kind, though. This is the person who wrote you a special note
mm-hmm.
and signed it. It's probably just as easy to write a really short note, stick it in the envelope, lick it shut, and stamp it, than it is to turn on the computer and, you know, a short note doesn't take any more time
mm-hmm.
than doing an email, I don't think. And also that licking the envelope shut and choosing the stamp, and you've touched it. That person receives something that has felt your touch, probably the, you know, your tongue going around the edge of the envelope. It's you. It's got you on it.
Yeah.
Whereas an email, as exciting as those can be, does not have your touch.
Can I ask you just one quick question kind of on the same subject?
Sure.
When is love appropriate as a salutation at the end? Is it...
Oh... How a good question. I think for something like this where your relationship was love and this love letter, this letter is based on the love that you had, I think it's real appropriate to write love.
Do you think it gets trivialized once in a while? That
doesn't have to in your hand. Yeah,
no.
I think so. You know what, though, interesting. I think I have one friend who used to sign letters L-U-F-F, love me. So it wasn't love. He was skirting because it wasn't always appropriate. Or people say, "love ya."
Mm-hmm.
It's not "I love you."
Mm-hmm.
The you know, the people are out of it. Just "love ya."
Yeah.
So, yes, it gets trivialized like that, but it won't be trivialized on yours.
Surely. I didn't.
Yeah.
No. It's
But I draw the distinction sometimes between people I don't know well, and I say, you know, "best as always," mm-hmm. or, and then
warm
I...
regards.
Uh-huh.
Regards.
And then there'll come a time where I feel comfortable signing it "love."
I only say "love" when I truly feel loved to
exactly.
that person.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
And when I think that they'll be comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly that too. Mm-hmm. Yes, good question. I appreciate that.
Well, we want to thank you, our wonderful guest today, and all of our listeners. We hope you'll join us every week at this time on Love Letters Live. If you have a story to tell and a love letter to write, please send us an email at info@loveletterslive.com. If you have a question for Janet, please include that.
Or something to say to Daniel, send it to us and we'll forward it to him.
That's right. So time to sign off. please, we encourage you to put your loving sentiments into words and send them while you still have the chance.
And remember, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So, until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.